Der Parshat Baalotcha starts with a few psukim that I want to start with and have the discussion about today. So let's look at the top of 775. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and say to him, when you candle the lamps towards the face of the menorah, shall the seven lamps cast light. So if you look at the pasuk, it speaks about the kindling of the menorah, and the aspect that it speaks about is how to do it, right? All the lamps, right? All the candles should be towards the face of the menorah, meaning the middle part of the menorah is like the center, and there are three lamps on each side, and the wicks of all those six are supposed to turn towards the middle one. That's the obligation here, how to light the menorah. And then the Torah says, Aaron did so. Towards the face of the menorah, he kindles its lamps, as Hashem had commanded Moses. Okay? So, number one, Hashem commands how to light the menorah, and the Torah testifies that Aaron did so. Second, this is the workmanship of the menorah, hammered out gold from its base to its flower to its it is hammered out according to the vision that Hashem showed Moses. So did he make the menorah. This pasuk discusses how to make the menorah. Now, if we look into this psukim, there are two ideas: one, how to light the menorah, and second, how to make it. An obvious question comes up. It does not belong here. A, and second, these two ideas were already discussed before in the Torah. How to make the menorah is discussed in the Parasha of Truma, much more in detail. And how to light it in Parashat Tzav in the book of Vayikra. So question number one, why is it repeated? And even more bewildering is, why here? Let's see, why do we ask why here? Let's see what's written before and after, and we'll see that it seems to be out of place. What's written before, last week's portion, finishes with offerings that the heads of the tribes brought voluntarily on the day of the inauguration of the temple, of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was built, and now the service is starting. In the first 14 days after the Mishkan was erected, each day one head of tribe brought an offering that he wanted to bring. The Torah tells us in detail what did they bring, not only animals, other things as well. And interestingly enough, every head of tribe brought the very same thing. That's what each and every one of them felt like bringing. Obviously, it's a miracle. All of them exactly coming up is the same group of things that they want to offer. And we are told by commentaries, by the Midrash, that even though they brought the very same thing, their intentions while bringing it were different. And the intentions of each head of tribe indicated the mission of this tribe, the uniqueness of this tribe. So 12 days, 12 heads of tribes bringing offerings in the first 12 days since the Mishkan is standing. That's what's written before. What's written after is how should the Levites be prepared for the service of the Mishkan? The Mishkan is there. Now they have to be ready, prepared, go through a procedure of things that will make them ready servants of Hashem in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. So what is the lighting of the menorah and the making of it doing here? The Mishkan is already built. It's already done. Why is it here altogether? So Rashi, the famous Rashi here, who asks, why did the Torah connect what's written in the beginning of Baalotcha about the menorah, how to light it and how to make it, to what's written before, to the offerings of the heads of the 12 tribes. So these 12 tribes came up with this idea that they want to volunteer and bring something. And they asked Moshe, they told Moshe, we want to do it. So Moshe asked Hashem, and Hashem said, yes, accept it. Aharon did not feel it. He was the head of the tribe of Levi. There was a head to the tribe of Levi also. They did not feel the desire to do it. And that's why they were not part of it. So Aaron felt very bad. How is it that a desire that others had, he does not feel, and how is he excluded from it? So Hashem told him, don't worry. And I want to quote Rashi to you. Okay? Rashi told him, I swear to you, says Hashem, that what you have is greater than what they have. They brought an offering, right? You have something else that is waiting for you. And what is it? That you light and prepare the candles for lighting, okay? Till the, and because you have to light the menorah till the light is in full force, till the flame is in full force, okay? And that's greater than what they did. So the Torah wanted to show that based on these offerings, Aaron felt bad, and that Hashem promises him that he has something else waiting for him that is greater, that has to do with the menorah. Now commentaries ask, why is this greater than what they did? Because our sages say that what Aaron does is forever. And what they did is a one-time thing. But there is a question here. When the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, was destroyed, there is no more lighting the menorah. So what kind of a comfort is it that you have something that is greater than theirs? In what way is the menorah greater than what they did at the time of the Mishkan? There is a very famous Ramban here, quoted a lot. The Ramban says that really what Rashi refers to is the fact that later on, via the Kohanim, there was another inauguration of the Mishkan. The offerings of these heads of tribes was at the beginning of the service in the Mishkan, at the time of the inauguration, what we call Chanukat HaMizbeach, the starting of the service in the Mishkan. So the Ramban says there is another Chanukah that will be initiated by Kohanim, and this is the holiday of Chanukah. As we know, at the time of the Greeks, they defiled the Beit HaMikdash. It was impossible to continue the service there. And via the Hashmonaim, who were Kohanim, it eventually, after the war against the Greeks, was re-inaugurated. And since then, we have another Chanukah that is an ongoing thing till today. A holiday was established by Aharon, by his children, by his tribe. And that's greater because it's ongoing. That's the Ramban. Rashi also says that in addition, the Kohanim has, till today, Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of Kohanim. We know in Israel every day, outside of Israel, on the holidays, the Kohanim bless the people. And if we look at their blessing, part of it is Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. Hashem should show you, so to speak, a face that is enlightened. It speaks about a godly light that will penetrate us via this blessing of the Kohanim. And this is ongoing. So that's another thing that Hashem tells Aaron, I want to comfort you. Don't feel bad that you did not have the desire to bring these offerings because I reserve the response to your desire to get close to Hashem for two other things, Birkat Kohanim and Chanukah. Okay, so That's the same as Rashi quoted the last, especially when we discuss Hanukkah, right? And it's an indication to something very unique. The whole Torah was given at Sinai. But we have in the Torah a few times where, even though the whole Torah was given at Sinai, certain things came down to this world after Sinai via a desire of somebody who wanted to get very close to Hashem. So one is here, Aaron felt very bad that he's not one of those who brought the offering and did not get connected to Hashem in a specific way via doing it. So as a result of his desire, he brought down to the Welt Chanukah. I'll give another example. The daughters of Tzlofchad, they said, we are daughters, only five sisters. Our father is not alive anymore. The Torah law usually is that a son inherits. But they say what in the case that there are five daughters, they wanted a share in the land of Israel, they had the desire to have a share in the land of Israel, not on a physical level, on the spiritual level. And because of their desires, the laws of inheritance, they teach us that if there are no sons, it goes to the daughters, was given via them. It's part of Torah. It was already at Sinai, but it came to the knowledge of people and was established in the Torah, written in the Torah, as a result of their request. So we find here something very special, that the desire of a human being to do something good creates opportunities, like here, right? There is another famous one, and this is Pesach Sheni. There were people who could not bring the first year after coming out of Mitzrayim the offering of Pesach because they were contaminated, because they carried the bones of Yosef. So they couldn't bring the Korban of Pesach. Contaminated people cannot come into the Beit HaMikdash. And they felt a tremendous desire to be part of it. So they approached Moshe, it's in our week's portion, and they asked, why should we be excluded? And Hashem, via them, taught us that there is another opportunity. So again, it's part of Torah. But it was given to us people. As a result, it was written in the Torah as a response to a desire of people to join, even though they did not have to do it, because the Torah says if you're contaminated, you don't have to bring the offering. But they say, yes, we don't have to, but we want. We have a desire to accomplish something, right? And as a result of it, Hashem gave us the opportunity a month later to bring the Korban Pesach, and it's for all generations. Whoever cannot do it on the first chance, right, on the 14th of Nisan, can do it on the 14th of Iyar, when the Beit HaMikdash is built. So that's the common understanding of what's written here. But much more is elaborated on this topic in the Midrash, like on all topics in the Torah. And I want to read to you a part of the first Midrash on Parashat Be'alotcha. And the Midrash says as follows, Be'alotcha quotes the first word in the Torah, so we know what it refers to, Be'alotcha, when you kindle the menorah. And the Midrash says that the concept of lighting the menorah is discussed in the Torah a few times. As we mentioned before, it's discussed in Parashat Tetzaveh, in Chumash Mot. It's in Vayikra. In Tetzaveh, it tells us that the Jewish people should bring olive oil, one aspect of the menorah. In Vayikra, it tells us how to light the menorah. And again, in Be'alotcha. Why is it repeated in so many places? Why do we have such an emphasis of lighting the menorah in the Torah? After all, it could have been all written in one place. And, you know, in this one place, all the details the sum up of all the details that are written in all three places could have appeared. Why did the Torah discuss it time and again in the Torah? Obviously, it has a special meaning. So the Midrash, like always, explains what it wants to explain by quoting a pasuk from another place. A pasuk that says the idea that explains it. We want to explain why is it repeated so much. So the Midrash shows us, if you look at the following pasuk that I'll soon quote, you'll find an answer there. So it's a pasuk from Yeshayahu, Isaiah, chapter 42, verse number 21, if you want to look it up. And I'll read it in Hebrew and then translate. So in Hebrew it's, Hashem chafetz leman tzidko, yagdil Torah ve'yadir. This is a pasuk that is familiar to us, as we'll see soon. But first I want to translate it. Okay, and it says as follows. Hashem desired for the sake of Israel's righteousness that the Torah be made great and glorious. I'll repeat the idea in my words. Hashem desires to do something for the sake of the Jewish people, for the righteousness of the Jewish people. What did he give them in order that it will happen? Right? He made great and glorious the Torah. What does this mean? What does it discuss? I said this pasuk is familiar to us. If you say ethics of our fathers in Mincha of Shabbat, after Mincha of Shabbat, right, from Pesach till Shavuot, and some say it also the summer, you'll see that it ends up with this quotation. It says, Hashem wanted lezakot et Israel, to give merit to the Jewish people. That's why he gave them Torah and mitzvot, as it's written in this Vasuk, that Hashem wants the righteousness of the Jewish people. So he made the Torah great for them. What does it mean? Right? Why do we say it every Shabbat? What's the idea in here? I want to bring an idea, beautiful idea, very profound, fundamental idea, discussed by the Raji Mina Rebbe. The Raji Mina Rebbe was the grandfather of the current Gerer Rebbe. In fact, he's called the same name right after him. And it's Yaakov Arye of Rajimin, Rabbi Yaakov Arye of Rajimin. He was one of the great rabbis, Rebbe's in Poland, right? And he was the grandfather of today's Rebbe, that his first name is also Yaakov Arye, right? After his grandfather. And he says as follows. When Hashem created the event, he created it in order to do good for Jewish people. So how did he create it? He created the world in a way that he is hidden. He mentioned it many, many times. The word olam, the universe, in Hebrew, is from the root ayin lamed mem, that means hiding. Hashem hid himself in this world. In fact, the name of Hashem, that with it he created the world, is the name of the letters shin, daled, and yud. And the meaning of this name of Hashem is a combination of two words, she, die. Die is enough. She means death, meaning creation is a reality that brought Hashem at a certain point to say enough. What does it mean? Hashem hid himself, but not fully. If he would have hidden himself, would have been hiding himself fully, we would never be able to see him in this world. And the whole purpose of creation is that we will discover Hashem, that we bring godliness into this world. So even though Hashem is hidden, it has to be so that we can discover him. So Hashem created physicality, created this world, created it as a cause and effect. But The physicality and the cause and effect, are such that even though they exist, you can still see Hashem. Because at a certain point he said, no more. Because this was the point where Hashem is hidden, but still could be discovered. And it was a 50-50 balance. He is hidden, but not fully. If you choose, you can go with the fact that Hashem is hidden and ignore it. But if you want, you can see him and you can do the right thing. If it's 50-50, how could we overcome the hiddenness? Right? If it's 50-50, it seems that there's no chance. No one can win because it's equal powers. So there must be something that enables us to be able to see Hashem, even though it's 50-50. And Hashem created something that will enable us to do it. And this is what is called in Hebrew, da'at, intellect, the ability to think, to observe, to come to conclusions, to see beyond what the physical eyes see. The physical eyes don't see Hashem. The physical eyes see just cause and effect. But we have a brain that is a tool given to us by Hashem, so we can see him even though in the physical reality he's not seen. That is the highest level of understanding. We have three words for wisdom, knowledge. It's Chochmah, Binah, and Da'at. Chochmah is the information that we get from the outside, by teachers, by parents, right? We are taught facts. Binah is working with this knowledge that we get, processing it, and coming to understandings. That's Binah. Da'at is getting such clarity that what we know and understand becomes one with us, becomes natural to us. So when Hashem created us, he gave us the ability to reach this level of gathering fact, understanding it, processing it, understanding it, coming to conclusions, and internalizing it in such a way that we can act upon it. In other words, even though Hashem is hidden in this world, without going into how it's done, it's quite obvious. We gather facts, we come to conclusions, we internalize it, and we live with the knowledge that there is a God, even though he's hidden. But there is a big but here. Our ability to do so is in its full capacity when we are born. And if we don't defile it, if we don't do things that will block our vision and our ability to understand. Okay? Just a second. This ability is there as long as our intellect is not bribed, is not blocked. We can compare it to a glass. Clear, clean, we can see very well through it. But if we cover it up with dust, with whatever it will be, if it's not clean fully, our way of seeing things will not be clear and we'll make mistakes. What can block our knowledge? Our ability to see Hashem even though he's hidden? Any negative things that we do. Anything that a person does affects him, positively or negatively. When a person does always the will of Hashem, his brain, his intellectual power, his da'at, that is more than the intellect, as we explained, more than wisdom, his da'at is one with truth, with objectivity. And then he can reach very high levels of knowing Hashem and connecting to him. But the more negativity the person does, the more it affects his ability to see the truth. And if he doesn't see the truth in the proper way, obviously it will be very hard for him to do the right things. Okay. So what's the solution? After all, we have free choice. And after all, we don't always do the right thing, and we do lack our ability to get to the right level of that, of the internalization of the true vision of reality. So the Pasuk tells us, Hashem chafetz leman tzidko. Hashem wants us to be righteous. And that's why he gave us Torah and mitzvot. Torah and mitzvot are the means that can clear our vision again and give us the ability to see reality in the proper way and connect to Hashem via it. Okay, that's the meaning of the Pasuk. That's what our sages say at the end of Pirkei Avot. Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakot et Israel. Hashem wanted to give the Jewish people the ability to be, to have merits. So when he judges them, they'll come out righteous. That's the plain explanation of it. So he gave them a lot of Torah and mitzvot. Why? Because we might do many wrong things. So we need as many means as possible in order to purify ourselves. Okay? If we look, and that's always advisable to do, to the source where this pasuk is taken from, if we go to chapter 42 in Isaiah, and we see what's written before, after, right? The full idea, not just this. We'll see that what the Rabbi Mina Rebbe says, explaining the Midrash, is really written in the Psukim. We might not have seen it before, but now that we have the idea, we'll see what's written in this chapter. And I want to read to you some. Oh, deaf ones, listen, and blind ones, gaze to see. Hashem approaches the Jewish people. He calls them deaf and blind, not physically, right? And he tells them, deaf ones, listen, meaning you can hear, but you don't. It's a choice. We speak about spiritual blindness that is a result of not listening, that creates contamination, that blocks our vision. So Hashem approaches us and says, listen. See, and blind ones gaze to see. You have physical vision, but spiritually you are blind. You don't see the reality in the proper way. So I'm telling you, listen to me, right? And only after this, the Torah said, the prophet says, Hashem desired for the sake of Israel's righteousness. They made themselves blind, but Hashem wants them to be righteous. Hashem wants to bestow good upon them. And it's impossible if they make the wrong choices. And the wrong choices cause them blindness and they become deaf. They don't hear. So where does he refer them to? Okay. The Torah be made great and glorious. So Hashem gave them a Torah that is great and glorious. This refers to the Pasuk. This reminds us of the Pasuk in Mishlei, in Proverbs, that says, Ner mitzvah, the Torah, oh. The mitzvot are like a candle, and the Torah is light. Now let's connect it to what we said. When don't we see? When it's dark, right? So if we do wrong things, our vision becomes like the vision of somebody in darkness. We can see. And there are different levels of darkness based on what we did. And we want the ability to see in darkness. What do we have to do? We have to light a candle. And then we'll have light. And then we'll see again. So There are two parts to the pasuk. The mitzvot are like a candle, and the Torah is the flame. What's the difference between the candle and between the flame? The candle is the vessel. The light is the fire itself, is the source of light. But in order to have light, we need a candle. Let's now go back to our psukim, raise another question, and come back to this pasuk. The Torah says as follows, and I'll read the Hebrew at this moment, soon translate, but we need the Hebrew. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor. Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, Daber el Aaron, speak to Aaron, ve'amarta elav, and tell him. What should you tell him? Be'ha'alotcha et anerot. So, when you candle the lamps. The Hebrew is not candle. The Hebrew is when you bring up the light. What does it mean? The regular way to say here is lehadlik, to candle, not to make the light go up. That's be'alotcha. Why does the Torah use the term beha'alotcha? So when we go to the way the Torah tells Aharon to light the menorah, what does he have to do? If we speak about the lighting of the menorah, there are two mitzvot here. One is to prepare the menorah for lighting, and the other one is to light, to candle. What is the preparation? The menorah is lit every evening. After the candles extinguish, there are remnants, there are wicks. It has to be cleaned. This is called leheitiv et hanerot, to take out what is left from yesterday, clean it up, and then pour the oil so we can light it again. This is to make the candles good, leheitiv, to prepare them. This must be done by a Kohen. And then there is the lighting of the menorah. The lighting of the menorah does not have necessarily to be done by the Kohen. It could be done by somebody who is not a Kohen as well. And it's very interesting. We would anticipate it to be the opposite. Okay, preparing. Anybody can do, but lighting the menorah, this should be done by the highest level person. In fact, as long as Aharon was alive, even though it does not have to be done by the high priest, Aharon did it all along his life. Still, this is something that can be done by others. And the cleaning, the preparation, only by Aharon. So, that's part one. Now, when we come to the lighting itself, you know, when you light a candle, at the very beginning, it's a very small light. But as long as we created a very small light, in a few seconds, this small little flame will become a regular, normal, full-size flame, right? Now, we did not make it bigger. We just lit a small light, right? Small flame. But when we watch it, we see how it rises and becomes a full-size flame. So when we are supposed to light the menorah, the Kohen has to light it and make sure he has to light it till it comes to the point that it becomes full flame. Okay? This completes the lighting of the menorah. Now, the Kohen doesn't make the flame larger. It happens on its own. But he has to be there while lighting and ensure that it really came to this point. Now, what's the meaning of all of it? On a different level. When we speak about mitzvot are a candle, Torah is a light, we don't speak about physical candles and lights. Torah is not a physical light, and the mitzvot are not a physical candle. We speak on a spiritual level. It gives us light. Torah and mitzvot can give us light, clarity. Based on what we explained before, it's clear. When we do something negative, it clouds our vision. We want to clear it up. We have to light a candle, and this will create a flame. The flame itself, the clarity, the godliness, is a gift given by Hashem. The wisdom of Torah, the effect of mitzvot, is a God-given gift. What we do is the preparation. Let's take the concept of any mitzvah. Take an example of any mitzvah. Let's say I shake a lulav. I did something physical. I took a lulav, the four species, held it in my hands, shook it, right? Said a blessing. It's a physical act. But Hashem made this like a candle. I prepare it. I bring the candle. And he creates a flame inside me. It brings godliness as a result of it inside me. And this godliness gives me clarity. It takes away the effect of any negative actions that I did. And if I have the right vision and understand reality properly, obviously I'll connect to Hashem. Okay, so that's mitzvot. The same is the Torah. The Torah is godly. The knowledge in the Torah, even on a physical level, to master the whole Torah in terms of knowledge is beyond the capacity of a human being. The Pasuk says, Rechavai miniyam, it's wider than the ocean. It's endless, the wisdom of Torah. There is no human being who can contain all of it on his own. Even the physical reality cannot be contained in terms of the information that is in it by one person, let alone the Torah, right? That is a godly wisdom, right? But what we are told is you do your preparation. You start, you learn as much as you can according to the means that I gave you. And when you turn on a small little light, meaning you do what you can, you prepare, I'll bring into you wisdom of Torah that is beyond human capacity. And reading the biographies of great Jewish people, great scholars, we see it. Their knowledge, their abilities, their clarity of mind, their understanding is such that it's beyond human capacity. It's a gift given because they did the utmost that they could. Now, why does Hashem do it from us, to us? After all, he gave us free choice, gave us a chance. Hashem is hidden, but you can also reveal him. You have that. If we failed, we made the wrong choice, we lacked clarity. So now we have to live with it. It's our choice. That's what we decided. The consequence has to be a consequence that we live with for a while. We will live with it. But Hashem gave us the ability to get rid of it because He's good. And that's why He gave us Torah and Mitzvot. What totally changes the relationship of Torah and Mitzvot. We see in Torah and Mitzvot an unbelievable expression of the kindness of Hashem. It's like if a parent gives a child something that can be used very well for his benefit or can harm him. And he's told, this can benefit you very much, but this can be also harmful. Be careful. Use it smartly. And the child makes the wrong decision and uses it in the wrong way, and it harms him. If the child will really feel bad about it, the parent will find ways to correct the harm effect, the harmful effect, and will help him to use smartly the same means in the future. Maybe he will wait till he's mature and be able to do it better, but he'll educate him meanwhile. He'll give him means to be able to do it. When Hashem gave us Torah and Mitzvot, we turn to be children of Hashem. Beni Bechori Israel, my son, my firstborn, told Moshe to Pharaoh at the first time that he asked him to send the Jewish people out of Egypt. That's the first time that the Torah calls us my son, my child. And the relationship between Hashem and us is the relationship of a parent, of love. And yes, it's our responsibility not to harm ourselves, not to clog our vision, because it deprives us of the good that good choices can bring us. But if we choose evil, negativity, because we do have free choice, and especially if we do it more than one time and in more than one area, and our vision is blocked, Hashem is there to tell us, I want to help you. Now, the menorah of the Mishkan symbolizes this idea in the ways that I just explained. The preparation is the obligation of the Kohen. And he has to wait till the flame is in full force, but he doesn't make it full force. It happens on its own, like when we light a fire. Meaning, in other words, our capacity is limited, even before we committed the sin. Even if I do everything Hashem told me to do and never fail, I'm still a human being. But as a result of my choices, Hashem will bestow upon me good that is superhuman. On all levels, he will bring godliness into me. And godliness is not human. It's godly. Even more so, if I don't do the will of Hashem and I do harm myself, it doesn't step away. It tells me, I gave you Torah and Mitzvot. This is what happened historically. And this is what happens at any moment of our life, as a nation and as an individual. Historically, Hashem gave first man free choice and a clean slate. As we know, he failed. Hashem gave mankind 2,000 years to correct it, and in many different ways helped them to come to the correction. He spoke to them like before the flood. He showed them the consequences. He punished them. He changed nature so their circumstances will make it easier for them to do the right thing. In different ways, he tried to help. But mankind chose not to do the right thing, and they remained with a vision that is not there, not clear. We see the stories of these 2,000 years. Idol worship at the door of Enosh, the flood, the Tower of Babylon, Cain and Hevel, moving away from the right thing. Then what did Hashem do? He chose the Jewish people, gave them the Torah, with the mitzvot, made them children, and he said, well, the rest of mankind is not ready for it, but you are, and I'm choosing you to accomplish it. But we have free choice too, right? In fact, 40 days after Hashem did it, we did the egel. We created the egel. We did the sin of the golden calf, right? So what's going on? Right? Hashem did not say, too bad. Hashem gave us a way to come back to the ultimate vision. There were punishments, there were purifying ourselves as a result of our prayers and tshuva, as a result of Moshe going up to Shamayim to plead for us. And we came back to full clarity when the Mishkan was built. And then Hashem said, light the menorah. And Aaron got it as a result of the fact that he desired very badly to connect to Hashem in the way that all heads of tribes did. And he did not have the opportunity to. He didn't feel it in him. The 12 heads of tribes desired to connect and brought their offering. He didn't feel it. But for Aaron, it was the most important thing, a closer connection to Hashem. Because he was a person of such vision, he understood all that we explained now. So the kindness of Hashem in all together making us partners with him. What does Hashem say? You are humans. You cannot have the ability to create godliness. Godliness is godly. Hashem can grant godliness. You can't. But Hashem told us, I'll grant it to you, but I'll give you the opportunity to make it happen. And this will give you a joy that is beyond. Because the light of Hashem is endless and is the ultimate pleasure. People who have really the total clarity of the world, the deep knowledge of Torah, the strong connection to mitzvot, and attain godliness inside them, have the happiest of lives, regardless of their life circumstances. It elevates a man. It elates him to the extent that nothing matters more than this relationship. And the greater a person is, the more godliness he sees, the more clarity he has, the more he appreciates it. And Aaron had a tremendous desire for this closeness. So what does Hashem tell him? He gives him a mitzvah that teaches us the concept. How? In the Midrash, our sages ask, why does Hashem tell Aaron to light the menorah in the Mishkan? Why do we need a candelabra in the Mishkan? Hashem is the source of life, light. Does he need in his home that will turn on the light? So 40 years in the desert, there was a cloud in front of the Jewish people every night that gave them light. A pillar of fire. Hashem creates light from the black part of our eye, from darkness. Look at the story of creation. Verse number 2 says, V'choshech al pnei tehom. There were darkness all over. And what's the next pasuk? Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. So Hashem tells us, turn on a light in my home. Obviously, he's the source of full light, and he creates light from darkness. What Hashem told us via doing it is, I don't need a light. But I give you the ability to create light out of darkness. Spiritual darkness. Even if you bring yourself to spiritual darkness, even if the darkness that you experience is not just the result of the fact that I hid myself in this world, but it's 50-50. Even if you made it 90-10, and you are almost in total darkness via the choices that you made, I'll give you the ability to see again. Do mitzvot, study Torah. And if you do it in the right way, with the desire, like Aaron had, to reveal the light, you will see that slowly, slowly, the negativity is gone. And you start seeing. You start seeing Hashem all over. And it gives you a different view of life and an unbelievable appreciation of what Hashem is doing for you. Like a parent who is there to clean up the mess of the child because he cares about him. That's why Hashem told us to light the menorah, to tell us you can do it. Now let's see how the Kohen lit the menorah. There were seven lamps, right? The middle one and three of each side. There is what is called Haner HaMa'aravi, the lamp that is towards the west side. Ma'arav is west, right? Haner HaMa'aravi, the candle of the west side, that faces the west side of the Mishkan. Aharon put an equal amount of oil in all seven candles. But a miracle happened every day with this Ner Ma'aravi, with this lamp that was towards the west. It burned 24 hours. All others burned through the night, according to the amount of oil that was put into it. In this candle, there was the same amount of oil, but it continued to burn till the next night, 24 hours, when Aaron came to light again. And from this candle, he started the next time of lighting. What's the meaning of it? What is the west vis-à-vis the east? The east is the place of the sun. That's where the sun comes from. That's where the sun rises. The east stands for light, for clarity. The west for darkness. We call the night prayer Ma'ariv, from Erev, right? Ma'arav, it's where the sun sets, where there is darkness. And the menorah indicates that we can create light of darkness. There is darkness, there is hiddenness. And we, at times, add to the hiddenness by our negative actions. But Hashem gave us a way to create light, even from the deepest of darkness, by doing mitzvot with this intention to create light, to connect to Hashem, and study Torah for this sake. That's why he asked to light a menorah in the Mishkan, in the Beit HaMikdash. He doesn't need the light. And in fact, that's why Aaron is asked, the Kohanim are asked to prepare the menorah in such a way that all flames will face the middle candle. As if to say, we don't want to spread the light. The light is not necessary here. It's only a way to show you a concept. We had a total of seven lamps corresponding to the 6 days, the seventh day of creation, 6 days plus Shabbos. The middle candle is like Shabbos, and the six who face it are like the 6 days of the week, indicating to us the Shabbat is a good day when we can achieve light. We refrain from the involvement in the physical, and Hashem bestows upon us more godliness, neshama yatera, and if we utilize Shabbat properly, if we make it a day of involvement in our relationship with Hashem, enhancing our relationship with Hashem, this is another means that Hashem gave us to chase away the darkness. Now, the Chiddush Ha'arim says something very fascinating that will put all that we said together, two things. One is, the Mishkan was not destroyed. Hashem hid it. It's hidden. Until today it's there. Now, the candle that is on the west side, that was on the west side, was always lit. Miraculously, beyond the capacity of the amount of oil that was in it, right? So when it was hidden, it was still burning. And it's burning till today, miraculously, wherever it is hidden. What indicates to us that even in exile, even today, in the darkest of times, we have the capacity to create light. And why? Because we don't create the light. All we do is do what Hashem told us to do, prepare the capacity, prepare the vessel. And if we do it, Hashem gives the light. And all what we are requested to do is to prepare the capacity according to our possibilities. So if we are not as holy as previous generations, Hashem doesn't demand from us what he demanded from them in terms of quality of our actions. We have to do what we can. And then he grants us light even today. This will answer to us that next question that we ask and we didn't touch yet. Why does the Torah speak now about the making of the menorah? We explained why the lighting of the menorah is written here. But why the making of the menorah is repeated here? Because in the menorah, we had something very amazing. Hashem told Moshe to make the menorah. It had to come out all of one piece of gold. You could not make it pieces, pieces, and then connect. But it's technically difficult, right? To hammer out from a piece of gold the menorah with all its details is difficult. But it's not the only difficult thing that was in the Mishkan, practically speaking, physically speaking. And still our sages say that Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult. He didn't know how to make the menorah. And Hashem said, Ze maase ha-menorah. That's how you should do it. And whenever we have the word ze in the Torah, it means that you can see it with your eyes, you can point a finger. And from here our sages say, our sages extracted that Hashem showed Moshe how to make the menorah. He showed him a menorah made out of fire and said, that's how you should do it. But if you look at the pasuk in our big portion, verse number 4, it's written the following. This is the workmanship of the menorah, hammered out of gold, from its base to its flowers to its hammered out, according to the vision that Hashem showed Moses. And then there is an addition. So did he make the menorah? Isn't it obvious that so did he make the menorah? It's written in the beginning. This is the workmanship of the menorah, according to what Hashem showed Moses. Right? So what is this addition? You should pay attention. It's not written, this Moshe did. This is how Moshe did the menorah, but it's written he. And our sages say that Hashem told Moshe, you take the piece of gold, throw it into the fire, and I'll make it, and you'll have a menorah. Meaning, this is another example of this partnership. When Hashem tells us, you are human, you cannot create godliness. You cannot make the flame in its full capacity. You can't understand fully Torah on a human level. You can't create the effect of the mitzvot. All of it is what I want to bestow upon you. But I don't want to give it to you as a gift. I want you to feel that you accomplish it. And the more you invest in what you can do, the more you'll get. And you'll feel you achieved it. And this will give you the ultimate pleasure. Okay, we'll finish here and open to questions.
Before we open, the class is dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas, Me'ira Chaya Nechama Bracha, Bas David Mordechai. And you should be able to unmute yourselves.
Reb Simkon, it's Elke Redder. I have one question. Hi. I thought that all the kelim from the Mishkan were transferred to the first Beis Hamikdash. I didn't think that they had all new kelim. So you're saying that the menorah was a new menorah in the Beis Hamikdash? It wasn't the
I
one
have
from
to
the
check
Mishkan?
it. It's a good question. I have to check it. But if it's the same, so it's when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed that it happened, that it was hidden, right? But as far as I don't know if it's approved or not, but on the gate of Titus, right, there is the picture of the menorah, what seems to indicate that it was taken. Right, so I have to check it. In Yom Hashem, if I remember next week, I'll give you the answer. But it's a good question.
Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah.
Okay, no, I have a question. Earlier in this year, you said that the daughters, the five daughters, because they requested, a share in the land spiritually. I'm a little confused. The Rebbe said that was in the Torah.
What I mean is, nobody can renew something that if it's written in the Torah, it was given already on Sinai.
So why
So
didn't we hear about it?
because Hashem wanted to give it via them because of their desire. Moshe got it there. But the commandment for the people came here as a result of the request.
And the same with the Kohanim who wanted to
Right.
offer the
Right. And the
offering.
same with Pesach Sheni. It was all there already at Sinai, but it was brought to the Jewish people as a commandment, as a result of people who desired it.
So would that apply to us? I mean, because the Rebbe had said that when we desire something
Yes.
that Hashem, if it's
Yes,
good.
but not, let me say how, not in creating a new mitzvah. After Chanukah, Purim, that's it, but capacity of light that the mitzvah gives us. Any mitzvah. What we invest in any mitzvah will define to what the level of godliness that will receive as a result.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Sure. Anybody else? Okay, so have a good week and we'll meet in Yom Hashem next week. Cool
Thank you
too.
so much. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
With both.